Hi, everybody. Welcome to Emmaus Way on Christmas Eve. Please find a seat, and we're going to start off our Christmas Eve service together. Tonight, I have Mr. Jason Herod with me. Jason is a singer-songwriter who I've been a fan of for a long, long, long time, and it's a real joy for me to be able to play with him tonight. We're going to actually start out with one of Jason's originals, and when Jason first sort of mentioned this song to me that it might fit, and I looked at the words and listened to it, and I thought, you know, holy smokes, this is such a good way to start a Christmas Eve, because I think so many times at Christmas Eve, we talk a lot about lament, so this is not like a new concept for us, but so many times at Christmas Eve, it's obviously a night of celebration, but to really understand the grasp and feel the wonderful feelings of celebration, sometimes we have to visit the dark areas first. We have to kind of admit the places where life has not been particularly working out. It's only then that joy can really have teeth to it. So we're going to start with this song of Jason's called Out in the Fields.
Finding we need a redeemer. Something opened me ever so slightly. Entered and went far away. There was a word that I used to remember that I couldn't think how to say.
Was a really good way to start a Christmas Eve, fourth week of Advent. At Emmaus Way, welcome again. My name is Ben. I'm on staff here with Molly and Mark and Tim and Elizabeth, who I think are both elsewhere tonight. But yeah, glad you're here. Christmas Eve is always a night that sort of gathers in a different crowd for us, and I can tell looking around that that's some of you. But yeah, glad that you're here. And really, in a lot of ways, Advent mirrors sort of the center of where Emmaus Way tries to sit week after week after week. And I think this song gets right there, is that, O Lord invisible, where are you hiding? Who do you burn for? Whose way do you light? Out in the fields, we're watching and waiting. And then at Advent, as we hope and try to get at every week, that something, a little pinhole of silver shines, something in us opens ever so slightly, and then we get a glimpse of a Redeemer who can come and make things right, make us right, make all things right. So that's where we are tonight on the fourth week of Advent on Christmas Eve, waiting for something in us to shift ever so slightly. And yeah, that's what we're going to try and do in a very Christmas Eve-y sort of way tonight. So before we do that, I'm going to read this invocation that maybe takes us a little further into that. Yesterday's Pain, from Anne Seams. In the godforsaken, obscene quicksand of life, there is a deafening alleluia rising from the souls of those who weep, and of those who weep with those who weep. If you watch, you will see the hand of God putting the stars back in their skies one by one. Yesterday's pain, some of us walk in Advent tethered to our unresolved yesterdays. The pain still stabbing, the hurt still throbbing. It's not that we don't know better. It's just that we can't stand up anymore by ourselves. On the way of Bethlehem, will you give us a hand? Not celebrate. Your burden is too great to bear. Your loneliness is intensified during this Christmas season. Your tears have no end. Not celebrate. You should lead the celebration. You should run through the streets to ring the bells and sing the loudest. You should fling the tinsel on the tree and open your house to your neighbors and call them in to dance, for it is you, above all others, who know the joy of Advent. It is unto you that a Savior is born this day, one who comes to lift your burden from your shoulders, one who comes to wipe the tears from your eyes. You are not alone, for Christ this day is born to you. Amen. So, invoked like that. A couple of quick just housekeeping things before we light our Advent candle and move further into the evening. We will not be here meeting as usual next week, being since it's Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. We thought we'd take that evening off and not try to have evening church on New Year's Eve. But Calvary UMC will be meeting, who are generous hosts here since the summer. If you wanted to use that opportunity to check out what they're doing, or you just felt the need to worship on that day, then they'll be up there in the morning at their usual time, which I think is 11? Yeah. So, that's New Year's Eve. The week after has become a tradition in recent years where we sort of gather back together after people scattered elsewhere, holiday goings on, and sort of do a meal together. And we're going to do that. So the 7th, we're going to dedicate again to a potluck meal together in this space, normal time. So that's the next couple of weeks getting us through the end of this holiday season. And yeah, I think we had one sort of lead team announcement tonight. Did you guys want to? Is there somebody here who wanted to? I was told that there was. It's, I think, reminding people that we're at the end of the year.
I can do that again.
Oh, Joel. Yeah. Joel did it last week. He's back.
So, I'm Joel. I'm on the leadership team here for another week until I rotate off and some other fine folks are going to be taking my place. As many of you probably know, we are a lean community. We don't own a building, we don't have a mortgage, any of that kind of stuff, but we still have a budget of a little bit over $100,000, almost all of which is staff compensation or compensation for our guest artists and children's workers. So we need money to make all that happen. And it might not look like, you know, a lot of work goes into this, but a lot of work does go into getting everything happening on Sundays and all the other stuff that goes on during the week. And as of last I checked, we're running a little bit behind where we ought to meet our budget. And people who are around the last couple springs may remember that we did some pretty intense pressuring to get money right at the end of our fiscal year, which ends in May, I think. Right now we're on track to still have to do that again, so we would like to not have to do that. So if you donate now instead of in April or May, we won't have to do that at the end of the fiscal year. So if you want to donate, there's a little bowl over there to put actual money into, or you can go to our website to get a postal address to mail in checks or give online with, I think you can do e-check or a credit card. If you want your contribution account for this tax year, it has to be postmarked if it's an actual physical check by December 31st or processed electronically by December 31st.
Thank you, Joel. There's so many timelines intersecting the announcement. Joel's leaving lead team along with Laura, which is momentous. We're at the end of the beginning of a liturgical year. We're at the end of like a calendar year. We just passed the big tax plan that's gonna implicate people's giving. Like there's just so many things intersecting there. So yeah, that's there. And now let's move on more into a liturgical sensibility with Christmas Eve that happens to be the fourth Sunday of Advent this year. And I think Jim and Gail are gonna help us out with the lighting of our Advent can't wreath and family.
To begin our gathering tonight, our anticipation leading up to Christmas draws near, very near. To begin our gathering tonight, we light the fourth candle, a candle of peace. Given our current political climate, we are often tempted to think of peace in the negative sense, as an absence of conflict, violence, or war, rather than the presence of harmony, fullness, and rest. While those may be aspects of peace, this negative definition limits our understanding of peace to a temporary state that is easily shattered. As soon as there is conflict or violence again, the peace is lost.
Or, in the words of Frederick Buechner, peace has come to mean the time when there aren't any wars, or even when there aren't any major wars. Beggars can't be choosers. We'd most of us settle for that. But in Hebrew peace, shalom, means fullness, means having everything you need to be holy and happily yourself. One of the titles by which Jesus is known is Prince of Peace, and he used the word himself in what seem at first glance to be two radically contradictory utterances. On one occasion, he said to the disciples, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword," Matthew 10:34. And later on, the last time they ate together, he said to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," John 14:27. The contradiction is resolved when you realize that for Jesus, peace seems to have meant not the absence of struggle, but the presence of love.
As we light the peace candle tonight, we're faced with a different reality of peace. Peace not simply as the absence of conflict, but rather peace in the biblical sense of shalom, as wholeness, justice, and rest. Peace in the sense is not a temporary state, but rather a permanent condition. It's something that can't be lost. Tonight, we boldly proclaim that Emmanuel draws near. A babe is born in the manger, who brings with him a new reality of peace.
And so the Advent candle lit. I think we invite you now. Oh, you got to make an announcement?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Molly, you take it.
I'm sorry. It's okay. During the passing of the peace, so we are trying out something new for Christmas Eve. There are costumes on this table in the back for our lessons and carols. Ideally, the kids would get one first if you would like, but it's choose your own adventure. There are enough for some adults to have them also. But as we pass the peace, I would encourage you, if you are a child or a child at heart and would like a shepherd head thing or angel, a halo, that's the word, go back to that back table. But pass the peace, grab some food, say hello, and give love to those around you. And we will gather back in just a moment for our lessons and carols.
So let's look at our first passage of scripture. It's from Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Come, let us adore. In the region, there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David, and Savior who is a Messiah of the Lord.
This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us."
case and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told.
To certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Of the stories of the Nativity and some of these things that we sing every year that we're not exactly even sure how they happened or if some of these things exactly happened or what order they would have happened in. It never totally makes sense to me that three wise men show up like every year when I read the story, I'm kind of still a little confused as to how that all occurred. And so as you like, in the midst of all the story part, this next song, I wanted to make sure we included it because it includes a part that I am certain of. And the part that I'm certain of is that with the birth of Jesus, that the world is a different place than it was the day before. That somehow something has actually shifted, that God has in some particular way that God maybe had not entered the world before, that God chooses to enter the world in this way and in this time. And as a result, everything is different. In systems theory, like in therapy that I do, in systems therapy, you think like if one person in the system, if one person in the family system changes, then the entire system has to change around this new reality of this new person. Similarly here, when Jesus comes into the world, somehow cosmically things are disrupted in just such a way that everything in creation has to sort of reorient itself. It doesn't mean that everything is great. It doesn't mean all problems are solved. It just means that there's now a new ripple in space-time that we have to account for. That's what this song makes me think of. My soul cries out with a joyful shout, the God of my heart is great. My spirit sings of the wondrous things you bring to the ones who wait. You fixed your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west will your name be blessed, the world be about to turn. Small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and to those who would for you yearn. You show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more for the food they can never earn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. Rage from age to age, we remember who holds us fast. God's mercy must deliver us from the conqueror's crushing grasp. This saving word that our forebears heard is the promise which holds us bound. Till the spear and rod can be crushed by God who is turning the world around. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. And my heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
Thanks so much, Mark and Jason, and the Bain kids for leading us in our time of lessons and carols. This Advent, as I longed for the Canticle of the Turning, for Shalom, the babe in the manger, for this night where the light shines. I couldn't help but feel the weight of fragility of life. Now, I was thinking about the fragility of life for quite a while without necessarily articulating it that way, but about a month ago, I went to Greensboro and met a minister colleague, and we were catching up and talking about life in our congregations, and he just paused and looked at me and said, "Maybe it's just me, but are you and your people feeling the fragility of life with a more acute, intense awareness than you have before?" And I couldn't help but nod. I just can't shake thinking about and feeling the fragility of life throughout 2017. Even tonight on Christmas Eve. Perhaps that's why I found the invocation and wanted us to begin our night with it. Perhaps that's why Archbishop Oscar Romero's words that he spoke on Christmas Eve in 1979 in the midst of the Civil War in El Salvador caused me to weep each time that I read them this year. Romero proclaimed, "Tonight, we do not look for God among the opulence of the world, or among the idolatries of wealth, or among those eager for power, or among the intrigues of the powerful. God is not there. Do not look for God in beautiful images of nativity sets, but look for God among the children lacking proper nutrition who have gone to sleep this evening with nothing. Let us look for God among the poor newspaper boy who sleep in doorways wrapped in today's paper. Let us look for God in the shoeshine boy who perhaps has earned enough to buy a small gift. Let us look for God in the newspaper boy who, because he did not sell enough papers, is severely reprimanded by his stepfather or stepmother. Yet, Jesus takes on all of this tonight. Jesus takes on all of this tonight. All our fragility, all our pain, all our broken, unjust systems. He takes on all the evil of the principalities and powers that be, proclaiming that expansive love, not fear, shall be the final word. Emmanuel, God with us, takes on and is born into all the murkiness and shadows of our lives that being with us requires, and comes once again as an everlasting light. An everlasting light announced over 2,000 years ago that brought a sense of peace, of joy, of an understanding that the world was, in fact, changing. And it is that same everlasting light that comes to us tonight. In the words of Jan Richardson, she notes, "I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know, though, is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten or in peril or in pain, that it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way towards flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light of Christ comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you. Though it may seem long ages in coming or arrive in a shape or a baby you did not foresee." And so may we this night turn ourselves toward it that I realize you can't really see because I'm sitting in front of it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc that the light makes in our lives. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes this night, knowing that on this night, this blessed everlasting light, Jesus the Christ, God with us, once again enters into the fragility of our world and says, this fragility, our fragility, is not beyond redemption. Thanks be to God. So, at Emmaus Way, one practice that we come around week after week to remind us that even in our fragility, we are not alone, that Christ is with us, that we are with one another, is through the breaking of bread and the pouring of wine around our open table. So to end our night, we are going to partake in our open table together. If you haven't been to Emmaus Way, we serve one another. It's really fun. You can serve anyone. We have a sweet bread, or there are gluten-free crackers. Grape juice is in the dark green pitchers. And in the silver pitchers, we have mulled wine. And as you serve those that come, as you are around the table, you may say the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. You may say the love of God for you, the peace of God for you, if you prefer. And once you are finished at the table, if you would pick up a candle, which are on the ends, there are two baskets on the end, and light your candle off the everlasting light that has come, and then find your seat. That would be great. So let us come to our open table. We are here to serve and love one another. So let us come.
Joy to the world. True. righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Thanks be to God. Go in peace tonight. Love one another, love the world, bear up with one another's sorrows and strengths, and celebrate the coming of a new world. Amen.